Greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Trust that we continue to worship together. The subject this morning, the title would be Cultivating an Awareness of God's Presence. Cultivating an Awareness of God's Presence. We know that God is omnipresent, that He is everywhere. We know that. But the question is, how real is He to you? How close is He to you? How do you sense that He is close to you? There is, well, one illustration or one way I'd like to think of it this morning is sometimes, I'm not sure what illustration to use for the sisters, but for the men, you'd carry a tool or a leatherman or a screwdriver or a hammer on your belt, possibly for your work, or sometimes you do, and you might not be used to it, or you forget about it, and you need something, you need that, and instead of using what's right hanging with you, right with you on your belt, you go to the toolbox or to the shop, and the truck, and get the tool, forgetting that it was right with you. It was right at your side. God, many times, is right beside us, but the question is, do we forget that He's there and go looking for other help when He'd like to help us and He's right there with us? God wants us to be aware of His presence as He goes beside us through each day. He wants us to be aware of that. And we're going to talk about a lot of the ways that that makes a difference. Now, let's turn to Psalm 16, first of all. Psalm 16. And I'd like to read verses 8 through 11. God is omnipresent. There is a responsibility, and this message focuses on more of us realizing that, or us understanding that. Notice the way this psalm brings that out. Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, when he starts out there and says he set the Lord always before me, did that change where God was? What does that mean? Or what really did he choose to do there? It really didn't change God's position any. It may have changed his perception of where he was. But basically, he was choosing to remember that God was there. He's choosing to remember that God was beside him. God was before him. God was at his right hand. And because of that, because he remembered that, that gave him stability in life, that made his heart glad. My glory rejoiceth. My flesh can rest in hope. And he remembered that God would remember him. God would not forget him. God would not leave him. God was going to be there. So that's a little introduction to the subject this morning. Cultivating an awareness of God's presence. To be aware is to be conscious of the fact. There's a fact that God is there. If we're conscious of that, is what we're looking at this morning. You don't always think about the tools that are with you, but when you need them, you want to know where to go. You want to know where you can get a hold of that tool that you need to use. And if we're aware of His presence, that's a big help to us. Many different examples we could look at or think of this morning. Hebrews 11:27 talks about Moses, says that he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses didn't see God physically, but with faith, it's in the faith chapter, through faith he could see God. Even though God was invisible, God was there. And he realized that, and because he realized that, it gave him confidence that he could go and stand before Pharaoh, that he can stand before the people, the Israelites, and that he could lead them out. Because he realized that God was present with him, because he realized that God was there. Through faith, he had a very real sense of God's presence. To cultivate an awareness of God's presence is to improve or develop by education or training. It implies that it doesn't grow the way it should without some extra effort. It takes some extra effort to make it our awareness of him what it should be. We need to think about it sometimes and work at it. Without work, we will fall away from God. One of the reasons is that we will remember, it's a lot easier for us to remember the tangible things that we see rather than the intangible things that we need to see by faith. That we need to see, we can see God by faith, but it's often easier for us to remember and think about the things that are in front of us we can physically see. But God is there just the same as the things that we can actually see. Can we remember that? David also was aware of God's presence. Turn to Psalm 139, and we want to read several verses there. Psalm 139. This basically is a psalm about God's presence. The fact that he is there and that he can see, he knows all about us, no matter what the circumstances are. Again, the idea of omnipresence is something that we can understand to a measure, and yet it's so foreign to us because we're so limited. So we're so limited in what we can know and what attention we can give to something. There's times that we can even be present with someone and yet our full attention isn't focused on them, and we miss things, or we don't see them accurately, don't get all the details. But God is fully present everywhere. All right, Psalm 139, verses 1 through 7. No, I'm sorry. I want to start at verse 1 and go to 11, actually. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For that there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Then I'll read the next verse also. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. No matter where we are, God is. And we have a hard time understanding that because of our limitations. But God is not bound by those limitations, and he is present. He is present no matter where you are. Matthew Henry commentary says something like this: if God is omnipresent, he must needs be omniscient. But he is omnipresent. Knows the omnipresence and the omniscience of God, the all-knowingness of God, go together. He is omnipresent. This supposes the infinite and immensity of his being, from which follows that his presence in heaven and earth include the whole creation. The Creator fills both. But he knows not. He not only knows both and governs both, but he fills both. Every part of the creation is under God's intuition and influence. David here acknowledges this also with application and sees himself thus open before God. Number of different thoughts we can get out of that. God created the world, and there's many different ways that we make something, and then they get used, and maybe they get sold, or someone else uses them, and we kind of lose track of them, and they fall into disrepair, and we may not even know about it. You know, we create something, and we spin it off, and it goes its own way. God wasn't like that. He didn't just create the world and set it in motion, and then it was on its own. God created the world, and he fills it. And he's continued to be there and to fill the earth, to be all through it, and to be involved in every aspect of it. And nothing that happens on the earth is outside of his control or outside of his direction. He's a different creator than we are, than we can be. He's created and filled and influences and knows what's happening. He's so big, you know, his size, his immensity, to fill the whole creation, because there's nothing that can escape his knowledge or his presence, either one. And because of that, he does, and because of his presence, but not only his presence, but is the way that he can know everything, because he is present everywhere. And so he knows and understands everything that is going on everywhere. It's just hard for us to fully comprehend. Stretches our minds. Someone has said that God's omnipresence signifies that God is present in the totality of his being at each point in space. Therefore, God doesn't have one part of himself at one place and another part at a different place. God transcends spatial limitations as so is present in all places at once in his total being. And there'd be a variation or two of that. God is more present with his people than he is with the wicked. And yet, when he is present, his whole being is present. He's fully there. I guess to me, I understand that as sometimes we're there, but we're not there. We're present, and yet our attention is diverted somewhere else. And we're thinking, our mind's going somewhere else. But God, his total focus is on each and every person. His total focus is on everything. And nothing escapes his attention. His whole being, his whole focus, his whole totality of his presence is with each object, with each part of his creation. Spatial limitations mean nothing to God. They mean a tremendous amount to us. Makes such a difference to us where we are and where other things are, other people are. But it doesn't make any difference to God. Someone once said that a pastor's job is to show the presence of God in a situation, to show that God is there where you are, help me realize that God is here. God is with me. God is present in this situation. God wants us to know that. God is always with us. But to help others, that's one of the biggest things that we can do, to help them to realize that God is there with them. God is present. I like the account in 2 Kings, and I don't think we're going to turn there, where Elijah's servant, where Elijah had that host of enemy hosts come against him, and his servant was very distressed. What are we going to do? The enemy army is coming against us. They're come to get Elijah. They came, the whole army came against one person. And Elijah prayed that God would open the servant's eyes. And when God opened the servant's eyes, he saw that whole host of the Lord on the hill above or surrounding them. And I think if we can have an awareness of God's presence like that, it just makes you wonder how many times the host of God is gathered around his people. And we don't have any idea. We don't have any concept of it. And yet God's presence is there. And we know that he has whatever size host is needed to protect his people. He has, it's probably not always a whole host like that, but whatever is needed, God has there, has present to protect his people. If we can have an awareness of God's presence like that, through faith's eye, if we can have an awareness like that, it will make a difference for us. All right, several reasons we need an awareness of God's presence. First is, it's a reality. He is beside us whether we realize it or not, whether we want him to be or not. He is there. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows and understands us. He's with us, and he understands our situation. He understands the surroundings around us. He understands our thoughts. He understands our reactions. He understands what we're seeing. And that's not whether we've desire him to or not, but he is there. He is there. It's a reality. It's the way it is. He understands us. Jeremiah 23:23-24, I am a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord. Again, it's a reality that God fills heaven and earth. There's no place that we can go to escape his attention, escape his understanding, his knowledge. He is there. It's a reality like other facts. God is there. God is present. God is wherever we are. Another reason to understand and to remember God's presence is it helps us realize the importance of our actions. Would have Eve taken of the forbidden fruit if she had known that God could see, if God had been there, if she could have seen that God was there with her? She could have understood that God was seeing what she was doing, that he would know all about it. Would have it made a difference? It probably would have. I don't know. In some way, the human heart, when we're tempted to do something wrong, we think that we can get away with it. We think we can do it in a hidden way that no one will know. The thief wants to be hidden in some way, whether it's by darkness of night or making sure that no one else is around or whatever. He looks for some way that he can get away with it, that he can get away without others knowing about it. If we realize that God sees, that God is here, it makes a difference. It will help us to face temptation. It will help us to face trials as we should, and have the right response. How much can we do without being seen? How much can you get away with without God knowing it? Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. He sees whether it's good or evil. He knows, he sees and knows. Another reason we should have an awareness of God's presence is a source It's a source of stabilization and comfort. We need this awareness as we face the stresses of life. Someone has said, the best antidote for anxiety available to all of us is the knowledge that God is in us, He's with us, and He's close by us. The best way for us to overcome anxiety is to know that God is with us. He won't let us go. He won't forget about us. Come back to the first verse we read, or first passage we looked at. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. It gave the psalmist confidence and strength to stand, to not be moved, because he knew that God was there. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. We can have confidence that if we call on God, if we need Him, and we seek for Him, He will be there. He will hear. He's not going on a trip. This whole concept stands in such contrast to the idea of earthly gods, idols. Idols that were a simple being in one place at one time. An idol in a temple that couldn't see outside those walls and didn't know what was going on. The idol was so limited and appears to be so limited, so different than the true God, who is fills everywhere and knows everything and is everywhere present. Such a contrast. Psalm 18:35, Thou hast given me the shield of Thy salvation, and Thy right hand hath hold me up, and Thy gentleness hath made me great. Thy right hand holds me up. If someone's close enough to touch us, close enough to support us in that way, that means something. God is right by your arm. He's right by your shoulder. He's ready to help you and give you the support you need. Psalm 34:18-20, The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. The Lord is nigh unto a broken heart, them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. He's to those that are hurting, to those that are facing problems, He's there. He's there beside them. And His plan, and He will protect them. He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. Sometimes we're right beside someone when they get hurt. And, you know, we wish we could do something for them, but we can't. We're so close, and yet we can't do it. It's not the way it is with God. He's there, and He will see to it that He keepeth all His bones. Not one of them is broken. He will take care of them and protect us. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. Let's just turn to that one. It's an account of Paul. 2 Timothy 4:16-18. Paul is, if I'm remembering correctly, recounting to Timothy his experiences here and giving him encouragement. Second Timothy 4:14, he's saying about Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Of whom beware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. But then verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I prayed God that it not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul was facing evil men who were challenging him. There were his fellow believers with him also, but they forsook him. They weren't faithful to him right over that time. According to those that were there, didn't stick with him as he was hoping they would. But there was a friend that he could count on. There was one that he could count on. The Lord stood with him and strengthened him. Strengthened him the way no man could. God was there. And he was going to count on God. It gave him confidence to go forward. Verse 18, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. And it just gave him confidence to go forward, to face the next challenge, because God was there. Even if no one stood with him, no man stood with him, he knew that God would be there. He knew that God would sustain him. All right, several other verses. Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Again, it's just a stretch for us to think that God can be close at hand to everyone. To everyone, no matter where we're at. Psalm 119, 150 and 151. They draw near that follow after mischief. They are far from thy law. So the evil men, those that are seeking mischief, are close to me. They're drawing near. But thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth. No matter how close the evil men drew to the psalmist, God was there. And he sensed God's presence with him. All God's commandments are truth. He had something stable that he could count on and he could build his life on. The last reason to be aware of God's presence is that it brings satisfaction and joy. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If we're in the presence of God, you know, that's where the pleasures are. That's where the blessing is. That's where protection is. What more could we want? What more could we want? In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If we're there with God and he's with us, we can enjoy those pleasures and those blessings. All right. Several ways to cultivate an awareness of God's presence. First would be to have a relationship with God. We're not going to want to have that awareness if we don't have a personal relationship with him, if we don't know him personally. We're not going to want to know that he's right there with us. Sensing God's presence can be a blessing or a threat, depending on our relationship with him. God's presence is something that a lot of people feel uncomfortable with. God's presence either brings condemnation or peace, comfort, and direction. One saying that I came across, or one thought that I came across, was like this. One of the easiest tests of your spiritual state is your view of being in the presence of God, where he is and where you want to be in relation to that. The answer to that question shows if you are a heretic, an atheist, confused, or desiring God. If you understand where God is and where you want to be in relation to that, it helps you to understand if you're a heretic, an atheist, or confused, or if you desire God. If you want to be close to him, if you want to be not everyone, it doesn't come natural to want to be in God's presence. Many people today have a hatred for God or want him out of the picture, just ignore him, just despise despise him. But some just don't want him in the picture at all. They just want to cover him over. Helps us to understand where we are, what our condition is. We can have a personal relationship with him because he is not far from every one of us. That is how we can have a relationship with him. We can have a relationship with him because he's present. He is with us. They that seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. We mentioned that verse before. But the fact that God is with us, the fact that God is present, he's here, means that if we want to, if we open ourselves up, if we can see him, we can have a relationship with him. We can know him. And we can feel his presence with us. Second one, have a daily personal relationship with God. The way that we can remember that he is present is to listen to him talking to us and to talk to him, to communicate with him. Listen to him speak to us, to talk to him. Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Speaks of communication with God. God speaking to him, giving him the tongue of the learned, giving him direction on what he should say, how he should speak a word in season to those that are weary. And Isaiah was listening to God, was hearing what God had to say to him, and was paying attention to that, was following through with that. If we are aware that God is here, we will talk to him. We want to carry an awareness of his presence through the day. We want to meet with him each day. We want to talk to him. We want to see him. Meet him in the morning so you can think about him through the day. Helps us to remember him. Helps us to remember that he's there with us like a tool that's by our side. We don't want to belittle him to compare him to a tool. He's God. But he's there. Don't forget about him. Helps us to fill ourselves first with God before we are filled with the trials of the day if we meet with him in the morning. Helps us to think of him first. God can prepare our hearts and give us what we need for the day's challenges if we meet with him in the morning. In our communion with him, we can receive his perspective on the problems and possibilities of our new day. You know, God has a perspective and an understanding and knowledge of what's going to happen to you today. If you meet with him in the morning, he can prepare you for that. He can give you what you need to face those challenges. The third way to cultivate his awareness is just to take his presence with us through the day, to remember that. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I'm always inspired with those that, yeah, you're driving down the road and you see various things and it reminds them, and with others that are seeing those things and they recite a Bible verse that applies to that. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. Various things like that. But if we can see God in the things that are around us, if we have an awareness of his presence with us, remember him and think about him with the things we see, such a blessing. Walk with him. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Mark of a wise man. Meditate on God's word through the day is to cultivate an awareness of his presence. We do need to consciously channel our thoughts toward God and his word. Consciously channel our thoughts toward him. Fourth, last way I have that we cultivate an awareness of his presence is to practice daily obedience to God and his revealed truth. In other words, to respond to what he's already told us. When he speaks to us, when he prompts us to do something, follow that and then he will speak to us more. We will face daily tests in obedience. The quicker that we can see God working in and through those events will be an indicator of how close we see him. If we can see him in the things that happen when a hose breaks or a cake flops or whatever, if we can see God's work in those things, it will help us. Just helps us to understand. We really, God is involved in those things. God is involved in each of the little things that happens to us. Someone gets hurt or whatever. God knows. God's aware of those things. He's allowed them to come into our life for some reason. If we can we get a sense that God is there and God is present with us, even in the midst of those nice things, good things, or the trials. In conclusion, we believe that God is omnipresent. Do you believe that he is with you? Do we believe that he is with me as I go from day to day? Should we confess our sins in detail to God? Of course. He knows all about them anyway. He was present when you committed them, so you better agree with him on the subject. He knows all about what we've done. He knows all about our failures. He knows all about them from beginning to end. To confess them to him is simply to recognize that. And he knows if we're stating it the way we should or not. If we're stating it in its entirety, let him know that you recognize it as sin. That's a statement from Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry's commentary also. God knows about your sin. When you confess it to him, you better agree with him on the subject. Let's take his presence with us as we go through our days, from the time we wake up in the morning until we go to bed at night. He is there, but if we recognize it, that will help us. When we face decisions or trials or just a peaceful view, do we run to other helpers? Do we look for other sources of inspiration? Or do we go to him? If we're aware that God is present, our response when trials face us will be, "Thank you, Lord, I'm so glad you're here." It'll be a thankful heart that God is there. God is with us. We'll be so glad for his presence with us. I want to read a poem yet, or a song, God is waiting in the silence for a heart that he can fill. He must find it cleansed and empty with a spirit calm and still. God is waiting in the silence, mid the rush and roar of life, waiting someone's heart to enter, someone quiet in the strife. God is waiting in the silence as the world goes rushing by. Will not someone stop and listen? Answer quickly, "Here am I." God's there, but the world's rushing by. Do we know he's there? God is waiting in the silence. Oh, to know that he is near. Earth recedes and heaven opens. God is waiting. God is here. Let's pray.